Here's what it doesn't say. It doesn't say, scrub your life clean. Here's something else it doesn't say. It doesn't say, become annoying in the name of the Lord. Sanctification is not you scrubbing up. It's not you trying to be good. Sanctification is what happens when you obey God who leads you, when you do what's right because you know it's right. It's just like when you get up in the morning because you got to get up. It's like when you go to bed because, you could stay up, but you know if I stay up, I'll be tired tomorrow, so let me do what's right because the consequences are great and I'm not prepared to pay those anymore, right? So here's something that it doesn't say, though. It doesn't say, come and join the unfun brigade and never laugh again. Right? There's something about what the world thinks about what happens in the church or what church people are all about. It's kind of like, I found religion and now I will never have fun again. You know? It says, I used to really enjoy doing the stuff with all the folks, and now I go to prayer meetings, you know? And it's unrealistic the way, but they can only imagine what it's like inside that church because how many people actually come to the church? And here we are talking normal talk, but do people outside know that? Or do they even make enough time to hear that? And I'm sorry, I'm taking up a little bit too much of your time already, so I'll keep moving on. But when the scripture says, present your members as slaves to righteousness, as servants of righteous living, leading to sanctification, you once sinned without even considering that it was deadly wrong. So now make yourselves obedient to life-affirming choices that lead to a cleaner life, a holier life, a life without so much sin piling up against you. Isn't it fair to say that? And the scripture says, get up, walk out of the prison and walk through the beautiful fields of life without a care in the world or worry that something's going to come back and get you and that you're going to have to pay for this later and that, wow, there's consequences, but just banish it from your mind until, well, if you die, you might have to face hell. That's not what's happening in the life of a Christian. Just back to Romans chapter 6, verse 20, and we're almost done. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness, right? Before Jesus, you could do whatever you want. You weren't worried about what God wanted because there's no God. It doesn't matter. It's just we're all going to live and die, and that's just it, right? When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time, it says in verse 21, from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become servants of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. Sanctification, not scrubbing, not removing all joy from life and now you live in a black and white film of a life, but cleaned from the things that used to kill you by the choices you make to withstand the challenge and to obey God. And he hasn't asked much. What does God ask from you, old man, except to love mercy and to act justly and to walk humbly with your God? And then the final verse of Romans chapter 23, the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You could memorize that one verse right there. And anybody in your life, whoever said, well, what's the point of this Christian life? What do I need to know? If you could remember that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord, you could draw that on a napkin. You could tell anybody the wages of sin is death. The things you do that are against God lead up to kill us. The poison of alcohol will wear your body down. The smoking of all that poison put into your body will cost you your health. And also chasing after things that aren't right, that mess up people in your life, that mess up your lives, that mess up the lives of the other people that you participate in sin with, those things kill. But the gift of God in Christ Jesus, and here we are talking about baptism and following Jesus, the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Walking the rest of the time with God, who connects with us, who loves us, who delivers us and provides for us and guides us now into forever, into eternity. That's what the scripture is teaching us, and that's what we wanted to bring to your attention on this, the day of the baptism of Noel and John and Stacy. And we recognize that you already are Christians. It has happened in the past and is finished. And that you, in the waters of baptism, intend to declare your allegiance with God so that we will be watching your lives to see you obeying God and following Him in God's strength. By the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would listen to convicting thoughts and obey as God leads you and live a life that looks like what you say you believe. And I'm not saying fake it till you make it. I'm saying hold fast to God guiding you and your conscience and know the scripture so you know how God thinks and live your life in accord with it. Live your life lined up with it. Live your life the way that God has called you to this point of obediently being baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And that's the conclusion of the sermon. Now, what I'll ask you to do is we'll finish up. We're going to remember the Lord at this table of remembrance. This is a communion table in front of us. And then, at the conclusion of the service, we're going to have a cup of coffee or something, and then some folks aren't able to make it up there, and we bless you and hope that you'll have a wonderful day. But the rest of you, if you're able to come up with us and to observe the Christian rite of initiation that's called baptism, we'll do that, and then afterwards we'll come back down here and there'll be some sandwiches and some soup for those of you who are able. So thank you for your patience, and I'd like to pray. Father God in heaven, you are worthy of all glory and honor. The power is yours now and forever. And we know that you are a good God, and thank you for your Son, Father God, your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father and Son, for sending the Holy Spirit who has regenerated us so that we even know that there's a question, so that inwardly as we began to turn from sin, seeing that it is a bankrupt and costly pursuit that brings death, to look upon the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ and to agree that we need deliverance from sin and death through Jesus Christ, so that we could live eternally in Christ, forgiven for our sin and guided by God. And if we mess up, repenting and forgiven for our sin and agreeing with you. And we no longer practice it like a sport to be better at it, but Lord, we are committed to you, and will you help us to be strong, and will you help us to be bold, and will you help us to be courageous, and will you help us, Lord God, to hear from you and to obey as you guide by your Spirit. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.